Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 9th day of November. Tick, 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 people. Anno Domini 2024. And you, you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Have you paid your dues?
Ta-da.
Here comes the news. It's been a week for vulnerability threats and arrests. Google warned of an actively exploited vulnerability in the Android operating system. They just issued an update, so get it if you haven't already. Reports indicate that both Android and iOS threats are on the rise. iOS apps are being hit 20% more often, and Android apps are being hit 63% more often. Microsoft. They've confirmed that there are install issues with the latest Windows Server 2025, as well as blue screen issues. Hackers are increasingly targeting Windows users with the malicious WinOS 4.0 framework, distributed via seemingly benign game-related apps. A new malicious package called SteelFox mines for cryptography, cryptocurrency, and steals credit card data by exploiting vulnerable drivers to get system privileges. A new phishing campaign infects Windows with a Linux virtual machine that contains a built-in backdoor to give stealth access to corporate networks. So
that's pretty cool.
That is actually very cool. So get up to date unless you're using Windows Server 2025. Don't install anything from emails or suspicious sites or, well, anywhere. And, oh yes, if you're not on Windows 11, get ready to be inundated with screaming ads. Excuse me. Cautionary banners about the coming end of life of Windows 10 and how you can pay $30 to extend for just one more year. Nokia, or if you prefer Nokia, I don't care, is investigating whether a third-party vendor was breached after a hacker claimed to be selling the company's stolen source code. The Canadian government has ordered the dissolution of TikTok Technology Canada following a multi-step review that provided information and evidence of the social media company posing a national risk. Amazon says that it's working to fix issues with the Kindle Colorsoft, its first color e-reader, following complaints from early buyers that a yellow band of discoloration appears on the bottom of the display. And one frustrated customer wants to force Intel to pay untold millions in damages, claiming the company deceptively marketed faulty 13th and 14th generation CPUs as, and I quote, enabling amazing experiences to happen on the PC, end quote, when instead products were prone to crashes and blue screens. Linux users shouldn't gloat.
That's Microsoft's fault, not Intel's.
Right. Linux users shouldn't gloat. Hackers have attempted to inject hundreds of malicious packages into the developer stream. On the good side, and we need this, an international coalition of police agencies has taken a major whack at criminals accused of running a host of online scams, taking down 22,000 malicious IP addresses. And Canadian authorities have arrested a man on suspicion he breached hundreds of accounts belonging to users of cloud storage provider Snowflake and used that access to steal personal data belonging to millions of people. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is it's been a week, people. And your choices are, I've updated everything. I'm a little bit stunned. What, even Linux? And where's my slide rule? So you can vote in the poll. So far we've got 25 votes, and you should be joining them. And you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415.
It's almost gotten to the point where we don't need to report on exploits and threats.
Mm-mm.
Every week there's another one.
Yeah.
It's almost why bother.
Yep.
But Sometimes they're more important than others. Sometimes mm-hmm. they're more critical than others. Now, we're getting a lot of customers now asking about identity protection services after the NPD breach. Too late. All of your data is already now public.
That's true.
Your name, address, social security number, every place you've ever lived. There's a NPD checker in our link list. It finds the last four addresses I had. So it's too late. Nobody can protect your identity anymore.
You can sign up. Google has a service that will find where you are listed on the internet and give you the opportunity to ask for it to be removed.
Right.
And they will review that.
Legitimate companies will remove it.
Right.
But all the bad guys have all this information on
them.
This is
in Google's search results. So if somebody searches for me, they find all these replies.
Bad guys don't use Google.
And Google will block some of those so they don't appear.
Yep. Yeah,
now,
Jackie got a couple of
that
emails.
Means you can just use Bing.
Yeah.
Or DuckDuckGo.
Or they're mostly torrent browsers on the dark web.
Right.
Jackie got an email the other day from a credit card company. We've seen your name on the dark web. Yeah.
Yep. It's there.
It's there.
Yep.
Everybody's
name's
name
there.
Is there. Yeah. And there's nothing you can do about it because the bad guys aren't going to delete it.
Right.
So there are services you can hire that will scour the internet and ask for your information to be deleted from the good guys.
And that's no guarantee.
Right. And there's nothing to prevent someone else from getting your data on the next magazine subscription that sends you an informational packet.
Right.
And the bad guys aren't going to do it anyway.
Mm-mm. Right. So, yeah. The you know, if you've got data, back it up and keep at least one backup offline.
Yeah.
And as far as your credit is concerned, every single day, at least once, and better at least twice, check all your bank accounts and all of that stuff to make sure that your money is your money.
And most credit cards and bank accounts already do fraud protection and identity protection. You don't need to pay a third-party service for that in most cases. And if you're able, freeze your credit. So if you don't need to get new credit cards, car, house, you're of an age where you've got everything, you're not going to need it, freeze your credit. There was a federal law that made freezing credit free and easy, and unfreezing your credit also. We have a link in our link list on freezing your credit. So everyone could freeze their credit, and then when you do need to go apply for a new credit card or a new car loan, ask them what service they use. Because there was that Experian breach.
Yeah.
Every U.S. taxpayer's credit information was breached a few years ago. And there's no penalty. In fact, they got a big contract with the IRS to store more data. So you ask whoever you're getting credit from what service they use, unfreeze your credit there for a week, and then freeze it again. So if the biggest threat of identity theft is someone getting new credit in your name and running up big bills, which is very common. They're in it for the money. So if they can't get credit in your name, that helps.
Yep.
And it's very difficult most of the time if someone does steal your credit card or your identity, which is worse, and then run up a bunch of bills. How do you prove it wasn't you who bought that thing?
Right. We have a page on our website at soundbites.org/scams, or you can find a link on the website that talks about who to make contact with in the government if you have been the victim of a crime. It also has a link for free credit reports. You can now get a free credit report every single week, and we send you to the real deal place, not the hundreds of fake places. This one is real, you can get the link there. It's annualcreditreport.com, but it's not annual anymore. Used to be. Now it's weekly. So you can do that. And the few things that you can really do to keep yourself safe, the first thing, the number one thing, is never answer a call from a phone number you do not know. Let it go to voicemail. If you have both Android and Apple do this now,
mm-hmm.
you can screen the call. Mm-hmm. And if it's a fake call, I promise you they'll just hang up.
Yep. And even if it's a phone number you do recognize, be wary, because the bad guys will grab random phone numbers to try to trick you into answering the phone.
Yep.
Yeah, they'll sit there and make it look like it's a 585 local, and unless you're expecting a particular call, you know, be wary.
In fact, just don't call me. Text me.
Right.
But junk texts are on the way up, frequency.
Well, that's too. Why if, you know, they call and I don't know it and say it's a doctor's office, I'll have it go to voicemail.
They'll leave a message.
Yeah. If it's really somebody I need to contact, like my doctor's called me and it didn't pop up with the name.
Because they use a different number.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They were using a different number. And I let it go to voicemail. I went to my voicemail, listened to, oh. Now I know who it is, and I called them.
And you put them in your phone bank so that you know who they are. Contacts list.
In fact, while you're at the doctor, because you're usually making the next appointment, a lot of companies now use text services to remind you of appointments and stuff. Ask them what number you're texting from and put that into your contacts right then.
I lost a crown. It came out. I didn't lose it. It was in my mouth. I had it. And so I brought it with me to the appointment. But I called the doctor immediately, and they said, can you come in tomorrow morning? I said, I absolutely can. So I instantly got a text that said, you've got an appointment tomorrow morning. An hour later, I got a text that said, don't forget your appointment tomorrow morning. An hour after that, I got one that said, don't forget, if you cancel your appointment within 24 hours, you have to pay us anyway. And I thought, okay. I get it.
Yep, they're covering the bases.
I'm not so senile that I don't remember making this appointment 1 hour ago.
Well, yeah. That's mostly for someone who did it 6 months ago and forgets.
No, I get that. It was just very funny.
Yep.
It was just very funny. All right, to the phones. Our first caller, hopefully waiting patiently on the line, is Gail from Rochester, New York. What's up, Gail?
I have a problem where my computer doesn't talk to my printer, so anything I want to print, and I push print, it doesn't go to the printer.
Okay, what kind of computer do you have? What are you using, Windows?
Yes.
Windows 10 or 11?
I have no way of knowing.
Okay.
I'm terrible with this stuff. So
that's all right. And can you tell me a little bit about the printer? Who makes that?
The printer is a Brother printer.
Okay.
And I do have the number. It's an HL... dot L, oh no, it's a hyphen, L2360DW.
Duplex and wireless. Is it connected wireless to the computer or with a USB cable?
Wireless.
That's often the issue. The printer fell off the network and Windows can't find it. There should be a little light, often blue, on the printer with the Wi-Fi logo, and that needs to be on and solid to tell that the printer is connected to your network.
Okay, and now on my computer, it says it can't find my printer.
Right.
So that's likely the printer's not on the network. Yep. And it could be because the Wi-Fi is not connected.
It's got to be reset.
Okay, how do I do that?
You have to look in the manual for the printer.
Okay.
Who set it up to begin with?
My daughter, who doesn't live here.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, that's how that works.
The first thing to check is if that light is blinking or solid.
It's solid.
All right. So then in Windows, delete the print queue and add it back again. So you have to go into Settings, Printers, select the printer, and then delete.
Let me see if
see if I can find a link for do that. And then hit Add Printer and add it back again.
Well, it'll automatically find it.
Not if it's network. It doesn't always find them if they're network.
Okay, so to find the network settings, the printer has a control panel.
Oh, good. The ones that have the front control panels are much easier to deal with.
Right. So you go to the printer and light up the control panel. Sometimes you touch it. Sometimes you hit start. Sometimes, you know, it depends on the printer. But you'll light it up. And if you press the up or down arrows, you will eventually see a network option.
Okay,
once you find the network option, one of the choices will be wireless.
Okay.
And when you find wireless, it will ask you for it. What it usually does is shows you all the networks in your area.
There might be something that says wireless setup wizard first.
Oh, true.
And is that what I should use?
Yes. It may also say WLAN instead of wireless. I found a specific Brother Tech note I'm going to post.
Okay. All right.
All right. So once you see the WLAN or wireless or whichever they call it, you'll be able to say, okay, I have this. Now what I need to do is set up my network, right? So your router has a name.
Yes, it does.
That it sends out to the network. So you know that name, and it has a password, and you know that password. And you enter those in on that control panel, and then it takes a minute, but what it will do is it will come up and say, okay, you're on the network, and then you'll see that blue light that Steve talked about will go solid blue. It will stop blinking, or it will change color. It will be solid blue. Once it's solid blue, it should now be on your network, and your computer should find it automatically.
Okay.
But you may need to remove the print queue from the printer or from the computer first.
Right. It will be a different print queue.
Yeah.
Right.
That might even be the problem now. There's two print queues and you're printing to the wrong one.
That's always a possibility.
So in Windows, go to the settings to the list of printers and make sure there's only one printer name listed.
Okay. I do have a desktop, and we did get it to speak to the desktop. But I can't get it onto my laptop.
Also should make sure the laptop is connected to the right network. Yeah. We've seen cases where, so if you have a guest network in your house, the guest network can't see your printers. It can only see the internet. So make sure your computer's on the right network, too.
Right. If your desktop is properly talking to the printer, Is that what's happening?
It's not talking to it because it can't find it.
The desktop.
Oh, the desktop. Yeah, it finds it. There's a delay in printing, which is very long. That was never like that. And if I go back maybe in an hour, all of a sudden it's there.
Well, that's a different problem.
Yeah, that's a separate problem. But everything I told you was predicated on the fact that the printer was not on the network. But clearly the printer is on the network.
Because it's hooked up to the desktop.
Because it's connecting to the desktop. Is the desktop connected with a wire?
No.
Okay. Then the printer is on the network.
And the wireless
and it is
working.
Talking correctly to the desktop, which means that the problem is not in the printer. It's in the laptop.
Okay.
And then so everything we told you, forget.
Well, I would suggest eliminating the printer from the laptop, restarting the machine, and then reinstall the printer.
It
is already talking wirelessly to her desktop.
That's it.
So we know
exactly.
The issue is there. It's in the laptop talking to that same printer. So by just uninstalling that printer from the laptop, shut it down, let it sit for a minute, start it back up, and then reinstall it, it should find it.
So that's going into the settings, and then printers, clicking on and deleting the print queue.
Right.
That's
so
there.
If you're in Windows 10, it'll be settings, devices, printers, and scanners.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then what you do is you look to see if there's any printers there at all. And delete all of them, and then restart your laptop.
Okay.
And what it will do is it will come up, and it'll take a minute, but it should then find the Brother printer and add it to the print queue.
Okay. I will give that a try then.
All right. Good luck, Gail.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Connecting printers was always the hardest thing.
Yeah, challenge, especially wireless.
Well, and it has gotten so much easier, but it has not gotten easy.
Yeah. No.
Just easier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it used to be, because like I said, I've been using Linux for, what, 30 years now? It used to be in Linux you had to stand on your head and spit jelly beans to connect
to and all these different drivers. And
it was just ridiculous. And nowadays,
the first Novell networks.
Yep. Nowadays, it's just as easy as it is under Windows.
Well, with
I turn your machine on. Well, the last time I set up a laptop, I turned the machine on. I installed Windows. I went to add a printer. It was already there.
Yep.
Well, the same with Windows 11. I mean, the little laptop that I got, I think it was a $100 laptop that I take for going out and doing my ham radio stuff. You know, it's got Windows 11 on it, and I've got a wireless printer downstairs in the office. And Windows 11 just automatically found it, along with my network one, the HP 4000.
The zero config protocol. The printer is broadcasting to the network. Hi, here I am.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So any computer that happens to join it, or phone. Most printers are now compatible with phones, Android and iOS.
When I set up my wife's new laptop, I set it all up for her, and then, you know, she had an appointment, so she went to that, and I went upstairs and did some stuff on my computer. She came home. She said, are you done? I said, yeah, it's all set up. She said, I got a print. Can you come down and set up the printer? I said, no. She said, what? I said, no, I don't have to set up the printer. I guarantee you that printer is set up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you should have said I already did.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, right. Yeah, you got to come out the
hero. I anticipated your need, honey, and already did.
We got to teach you all this stuff all over again.
I know. I apologize.
Jeez.
But, it just finds it nowadays. And Linux just finds it. And Chromebooks just find it.
Mm-hmm.
I was setting up a friend's network all over again and getting it to connect to the network. It was a Canon printer. Getting it connect to the network was a pain in the patoot. Cheese and crackers. But once it was connected to the network, his Chromebox found it, his laptop found it, his phone found it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody was just there. It was ridiculously easy.
Yeah.
But getting it connected to the network. And then, which is possibly Gail's problem, it either didn't find it and restarting it will find it, or she's got two printers, as Steve said.
Windows is notorious for finding it again.
Right.
Having two incidents,
and the other one doesn't work.
And the wrong one is highlighted as the default printer.
Right. So if she deletes all the printers she finds, restarts the machine, it should find the one correct printer and get it to work. So that's something that Gail will need to do. And it's not difficult. It just takes a few minutes and then a reboot. And again, you know, I have a brother printer, and it's fairly fast. But you're right. It's gotten a little slower, and I don't know if that was some sort of update that it got. I don't know what the story is, but it now takes a little bit longer.
Might be doing a virus track on every file it gets, because attacking a printer,
that would be great.
Is the big new thing.
Yeah, that would be great. All right, we are going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe. That's right, Soundbites, right here on member supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Well, there's a YouTube hit. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Andy from Greece, New York on the line. What's up, Andy?
Hi, guys. The survey's not working. I hit the submit button. After I make my choice, I hit the submit button, and I get a
an error message. This page is not working. Soundbites.org is currently unable to handle this request. HTTP error 500.
Well, that's new because it worked for...
Worked right now for me.
Worked for 35 people.
No.
Interesting.
I don't know. I tried
a different browser?
Three times and... I'm sorry?
Try a different browser?
No, I'm on my Chromebook and I just use...
Just Chrome, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you because it worked for a whole bunch of people today. It's working okay. Right now, 38 people. Was 35 a minute ago, so...
Everyone went to check.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Well,
The customer I was telling you about during the break, he was getting an error 502 trying to go to Apple's password reset page. Every other page worked. It worked. That page worked on my iPad, so it's not the router. He just could not get to the Apple password reset page. And it was frustrating as heck. So why is that one? No filters, no proxies, no blacklists.
Right.
It was crazy. Just that one page wouldn't work.
That's weird. I don't know, Andy. What, you're on your Chromebook? You're on your Chromebook?
Yep.
And you've rebooted?
Yeah.
Generally speaking, if there was something, I can't imagine there's a virus out there that blocks that page.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
But if there was something blocking it for whatever reason, a reboot should get rid of that.
All right. Well, we'll do it again. Give it a try.
Yeah. Try. Do you have another computer in the house you can try to see if it's your ISP or the computer?
Yeah,
do it on your phone.
That's a point too.
Yeah, now there's 42 people who voted. That's it. Let's get that vote count up, people.
That could just be me. While I'm here, is there a lounge this week or no?
Not yet. Things are being there are back end machinations that are in process. We'll see.
Okay.
I'll let everybody know when it's back.
All righty.
All right, thanks.
Well, then I'll just watch TV Sunday night and I won't worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
You guys have a good week. We'll talk
you too. Bye-bye.
So I looked up the SSL cert for the Soundbites website. And
yeah.
It's a company I've never heard of before.
Soundbites.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. And when I try to go to that company's website, I get a divide by cucumber error. Please reinstall Universe.
Ah, there you go.
Is that the school's proxy on me?
I believe so. Yeah. I believe it has nothing to do. cpcalendars.saleschemistry.com.
It's coming from a trusted root.
Well, that's interesting.
I haven't put any certificates on this computer from a company. A lot of companies require you to load their company security certificate, so the website... Every website you go to goes through their corporate servers to make sure it's safe or not. But usually you have to put something on your computer to make that happen.
What's interesting is that I own saleschemistry.com.
Okay. So, all right, so now I'm a little less worried.
Yeah. It looks like what happened is either I fumble-fingered it or they fumble-fingered it.
When I go to the website, that's what I get.
Yeah, if you do it again, you need a different one.
There it is, divided by cucumber error. Please reinstall the universe and reboot.
Well, you've never read Discworld.
No, it's one of the series I haven't gotten into.
Really need to.
I'm a little more into hard science fiction.
That's Hex.
Yeah?
That's the computer Hex. When it produces an error, it produces those kinds of things.
I'm going through the Babaverse now.
Yeah. All right. Hold on. Sorry.
Figure out why the Soundbites, add it to your list. Figure out why the Soundbite survey isn't working for Andy.
Right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Mark from Greece, New York. What's up, Mark?
Hey, doing a little research. In Vivaldi, I already voted. So when it came up to the page, it wanted me to vote again. It didn't tell me what the total votes were. And if I tried to do that, the page crashed, obviously. And said it wasn't working. The only way you could get it working in that was to reload the page, and then it came up with how many votes there was. In Chrome, it does the same thing. It isn't working. And then if I say continue, it doesn't want to reload at all. It doesn't give me, it just gives me the page isn't working. And in Firefox, it won't do anything. If I try to vote, which we already voted, I get a blank page. If I try to reload, it wants me to resend the information. I try to resend the information, and I get a blank page. It's just white.
Okay, that's, it's something with Greece, because, except it works here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm very confused.
Vivaldi will reset, but I'm sure not many people are using Vivaldi.
Well, and they should be.
Yeah, it's awesome. I know. But, yeah, that's the only one I can get it to work correctly in. Everything else crashes.
And yet Vivaldi is Chrome.
Yeah.
Right?
But I mean, whatever their little difference is,
right,
and how they put it together, it's obviously working when I say to reload the page. And then it gives me the total votes and what everybody voted. But not in Firefox or in Chrome. Every time if I go to Chrome and I close that tab and I go back and I go to my bookmarks and I say soundbites, it wants me to vote again. It will not give me the total votes. And if I vote again, it crashes the page.
And you changed no code on the survey.
I've changed nothing, and I'm having the same problem now in Firefox. That's just I don't have a clue. I have changed. No, and yet we've had 66 people vote, so I'm thinking there's a problem somewhere in Greece. Greece's routers, some connection there somehow.
Those darn gremlins. That's what it is.
Yeah. Because it's Greece people. It's you, it's Andy, and it's us.
Mm-hmm. Not you, too, yeah. Oh, by the way, did you change the background to be shaded?
Well, finally, someone... Thank you.
That's very neat.
Thank you. Finally, someone has noticed. I did that months ago.
Yeah, I noticed
I never scrolled down.
A few last times I called, but it wasn't my priority in my mind.
Yeah.
So I didn't say anything, but yes, I have noticed for a long time.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank heaven somebody finally noticed. Thank
you. Really neat. I thought my eyes were going berserk for a while there, and I'm going, no, it's the background.
No, the background does change color.
Yeah.
It slides back and forth between a light and a dark brown.
Yeah, it goes shaded. Yeah, it's very neat.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you so much.
Yep. Okay, just want to let you know what was happening.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay. Yep.
Bye-bye.
I wonder if it's the ISP.
Hold on, Andy.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, like I said, right now there's 72 votes. So somebody's getting through.
So I just went in with Firefox. It doesn't know I voted. So if I vote,
Andy's.
It goes back to a blank page.
Yeah, I did the same thing with Firefox. So I don't know. It clearly is something going on in Greece.
Let me see. Somebody changed their border gateway protocol and...
Yeah, right.
Let's try pinging the server and see where it goes to.
All right, we'll go back to the phones. Our next caller is Andy from Greece again.
Yeah, just to follow up, I did a restart, which fortunately with Chromebook is really fast. Same problem exists. I got out, got back in, and instead of trying to vote, I just hit the refresh page, and it took me to the results.
Yeah, it's something going on somewhere in, it sounds like, Greece.
Yep, because it just doesn't want to let me do that vote, but I can get to the results by just hitting the refresh.
Right, because you've already voted.
I don't know. I had put the vote and submit, but then it told me it was an error. It wouldn't accept it, so I don't know if it's put me in or not.
No, I understand that, but the code tells you, says, oh, this guy's already voted. This IP address is already voted. So,
which is interesting because my Firefox is the same IP as everyone else's,
right.
So it should have also said should I've already
but
voted.
But that's why we're having, it's clearly an issue here locally. Okay, thanks.
Well, at least this conversation's gotten your vote totals up. You're up to 78.
Yeah, we're at 78 right now, so that's very nice. I like that a lot. Thank you, people. Seeing people vote in the poll, It makes me happy, and having Mark tell me that he saw the back end change, that makes me happy. The background makes me happy. It's a good day for me. I'll tell you that right now.
So something else has to go wrong.
Shh. Shut up. Slap them. Exactly right. All right. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Al from Rochester, New York. What's up, Al?
Hey, guys. Well, this is interesting because about the time your first caller called in and said he was having problems, I was experiencing the same thing. But it's not grease-related or whatever because I'm Penfield and I think I link in through Fairport, actually. But same result. Chrome was having a problem, but then I cleared the cache and it seems to be okay now. But Firefox is stubbornly holding at a count of 21 no matter what I do.
Interesting.
Clear the cache, restart, whatever. It's just frozen.
Yeah, no, I appreciate hearing this. The reality is, though, we've now had 86 people vote.
Oh, yeah.
So it's clearly not at my end.
Do you know where the server is physically?
yes, it's two time zones over. I believe it's in St. Louis. Is that the one that's in St. Louis? I have servers all over.
Yeah.
All over the place. I believe that one's in St. Louis, I think.
Lucky you, your life is so simple.
Yeah, exactly.
This morning I've been fighting with trying to figure out what my ever-reliable APC UPS is just crapping out on me. As soon as I pull the plug, it dies. So
new batteries.
New battery, yeah.
So time for new batteries.
A new battery is 75% the cost of a new UPC.
Yeah, right.
Oh, you got that right. But no, the old batteries were good. The new batteries made no difference. Something's going on. So.
It's probably the rest of the thing.
Yeah, the part I can't get into without hurting myself.
Right, right, right. No, I did. I had that same problem with a UPS. The batteries were good. I bought new batteries anyway, which was painful. They were good, and the thing just wouldn't work. So I just bought a new one.
Especially the you can get a really decent like $500 or $600. What's the unit?
Watt.
I forgot the unit. Watt hour. UPC for your computer for like $50. They're pretty cheap.
Yeah.
You want a bigger one for your server, that's going to be more, but a small one. So one of the things that we have in our office is our router and our Wi-Fi are on a UPS.
Oh, yes, they should be. Yeah.
So we lose power. Our laptops can still get to the internet.
Right. All right, we got 99 votes. I need one more person to vote.
Okay, well, enjoy the rest of your day, guys.
All right, thanks. Thanks, Al. Good luck. Yeah, clearly there's something going on, but it's not at my end, so I don't know what I can do about that. Because clearly there are lots of people who are finding no trouble voting. 99 of them. Like I said, we need one more person to vote. One more vote. And then all you people and the hundreds of you who listen to the show via the podcast during the week, 106. We're up to 106 votes. I am happy.
Whoa.
I am happy. What a week. 106 votes, and Mark found the background change. So I'm very excited
double
about
header.
This. It's a double header for me. It's a good day to be me. Okay. So, yeah, that's thank you. Thank you. Keep the votes coming. And those of you during the week who listen to the podcast, and there are a lot of you, please, or listen to the YouTube afterwards. Please go to soundbites.org and vote in the poll. Let's see how high we can actually get this week. That would be exciting. So once again, we see the way the internet works.
Mm-hmm. Most of the time, it works fine.
Most of the time, it works fine, and people don't care. The minute there could be a problem, everybody's got to touch it. 113 votes now.
Pardon?
So thank you.
According to our IP address, the server is just outside of Wichita.
Oh yeah, okay. That's a possibility.
according to the map I found It's in the middle of a lake.
That's also a possibility. That actually is possible these days.
Really? Yeah, it could be an underground.
Underwater thing for cooling
purposes.
That's
or on a boat floating around so they don't get caught.
Okay.
Like the old pirate radio
station.
Yeah.
Or the geographic center of that town.
I knew some pirate radio people. I was on a pirate radio station for a while. I tell you what. Those were the days, man. Those were the days. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Fred from Rochester, New York. What's up, Fred?
Hey, just wanted to let you know that your webpage is working on my Android phone and on my laptop, which is a Linux laptop, both of them running Chrome browser.
And what town are you in?
I'm in Rochester.
Okay.
And I just went to refresh the page on my laptop, and it's coming up with this page isn't working.
And if you refresh again, what happens?
It just keeps saying it wasn't working. So if I shut it off completely, shut the browser off, it still comes open a new tab.
And there's something not right at the other end somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
now it came up, but I haven't. It shows that no votes. And if I were to vote again, it would go to that blank page.
But yeah, there's something going on at the other end. Clearly,
I didn't have that problem on my phone. I can refresh. I can refresh that.
That might be going a different path.
Yeah.
What was that internet weather website? Internet weather?
128. You're up to 128 on the phone.
Yeah.
And the laptop is working off of my hotspot.
Looks like there's a problem in Hedron, Virginia, which is that's the main trunk on the East Coast, isn't it? I think.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, Herndon, Virginia. Oh, there's a big problem there. Holy moly. Yeah, and we would go through that.
Yeah.
As would pretty much everybody on the East Coast. So, yeah, that's part of the problem, definitely. One critical state, yep. So I'm going to try with my phone. Or not. Sound bites, there it is. And it's already voted, because I voted earlier.
It shows voted there, and it shows, well, the last time I refreshed it was 128, but it could be up. It's 131 now.
Yep.
Yeah, that keeps, that I can refresh instantly. Why can't I find the cache on the laptop?
Well, clearly there's something not right somewhere, but it isn't us.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like it's in Herndon, Virginia.
I'd be careful when you say there's something not right somewhere. But.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
That's just a given.
Right.
Well, that's just universal paranoia. Everyone has that.
I've been told something was not right before, so.
Yeah. Welcome to that club.
Interesting.
Jonathan Winters used to say, "I'm the only person in this room with a certificate that proves he's sane." All right, thanks, Fred.
All right, no problem.
Have fun.
I will.
So this other IP lookup site says the server's in Provo, Utah. Or did you just move it from Wichita to Provo?
It's certainly not an impossibility.
It's not on a CDN, is it?
No. But yeah, so,
if I try to bring the page up here.
Yeah.
It says, "Sound bites, not secure. Will let me in. 404 page."
And yet, here sound bites is secure. Yeah, clearly there's something not right somewhere on the internet. And we just have to weather it. We just have to get through it. That's all. We say this all the time. Some problems you can't fix, and it's clearly. Yeah, I should try it on this machine too. over here. This makes great radio. We're all standing here quietly checking websites.
Now it came up. Now I got it.
Yeah. But so a lot. This is actually help a lot of you people, because sometimes it's not your fault. It's nothing you did wrong. Nobody can fix it on your computer because it's not your computer. It's the other end of wherever you're trying to get to, or somewhere in the middle. So if the main trunk in Virginia is down, you're
up to 137 votes, and it worked okay here.
Yeah. Well, I want, how many of those are people refreshing? Every time I refresh, it goes up one.
No, it doesn't. It's clear votes.
That one you fixed.
Yeah.
Page is not working.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. Soundbites can't handle this request. Of course it can handle the request.
No, everyone's trying to get it. We're getting DDoSed by our own listeners. Yeah. So many people are trying to check out the website.
Cool. We'll take it.
Yeah, it's not working right there. That's okay. I don't mind. It is working. It clearly is working for a lot of people. We got 137 votes, which is more than we usually get these days. So clearly something's working. But yeah, it does prove that what works best on the internet is when something is wrong. That's why there's a guy who said, if I want to get a correct answer on the internet, I post a question. Then I go in under a different account and post a clearly wrong answer.
Yep.
People will correct me, and I will get the right answer.
But no one will answer the real question.
Nobody would answer the real question. 148 votes. Love this. Keep them coming in. And again, I'd like to thank Mark for his for noticing the background. Appreciate that. Have we got time?
For the question, at least?
We certainly have time to get the question in from Jerry from Jacksonville, Florida. How are things in Jacksonville?
Warm and toasty, and we're under hurricane alert anyway.
Yeah.
Got a question on Windows 11. I have Windows Update wants to install a driver for one of the media things, probably the microphone or the audio player from 2018. And I checked through Device Manager, and all the Device Manager drivers are dated 2021 and 2022. And I get this wonderful error message, 0x8007-0103, which I think means there's an update, but it's older than the stuff you've already got on the computer.
Right.
How do I get Windows 11 to stop making that update?
Let it install and then check again and let it install the newest one. But yeah, you don't want to downgrade a driver and have it screw something up.
Yeah, okay, so what you want to do is, okay, well, hang on, we'll answer this. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but hang on, and we'll answer it when we come back.
Oh, hey, thank you.
All right, that music and Dave's frown, the glower, tells me that we are done with our first hour of this show, but do not go away. There's a whole nother hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe coming your way, a whole nother hour of Dave Enright, a whole nother hour of Steve Ray, a whole nother hour from Jerry all the way down in Jacksonville, Florida, and a whole nother hour of you, because just like Jerry, you can give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Unlike apparently the internet, the phone systems are working just fine. So give us a call, and if you can, vote in the poll. And if you're listening to this later in the week, please vote in the poll. And we will see you in just a couple of minutes. Grab a snack, take a bio break, and don't forget to come on back. We'll see you shortly.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Twitter at 901Jazz.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we have Jerry from Jacksonville, Florida on the line. You there, Jerry?
Still here.
Okay, so you want to have Windows 11 stop asking you about drivers.
I posted a link from Microsoft where they there's a show and hide updates option in the advanced troubleshooting, where you can tell it to hide an update so it doesn't show, it doesn't try to install again.
Good.
All right, I will look on the web page and give that a try. Thank you.
Assuming that part is working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's dated March of 2024, and hopefully
November of 2024.
Oh, you got a
that's when we hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe. Maybe the problem, the website is me. All right.
Yeah, the website is on that computer right there.
Yeah, right.
What do you mean
I had that. I was doing some work for a company, and they insisted on hiring a third-party programmer. And one day he called up, and the site was down. And I called him up. I said, what's going on with the site? He said, oh, we had a flood here. I said, what do you mean you had a flood there? He said, oh, the your website is on my laptop. What now? Excuse me? No. No, that's not... No.
Edited on them, maybe.
Yes, I don't mind it being on there when you're testing and whatever, but we want it on the server that we're paying for. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Hell no.
It's not the case of Soundbites, by the way. Soundbites is on a real server hosted somewhere in the Midwest. One step ahead of the law somewhere in the Midwest.
That's where that came from.
That's where that came from.
Well, that's where we go when we got to take some time off.
Right, exactly.
Go visit the servers. Yeah, make sure it's up and running and relax and kick back, watch all the flashing lights.
Oh, that's the best part.
Mm-hmm.
The blinky lights.
Ooh.
All right, you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. You can vote in the poll at soundbites.org. And while you're doing all of that, I'm going to read you a news item. According to the Federal Trade Commission, God bless them, there's nothing unfair about Google collecting fees to profit off of Google Play gift card scams while refusing to refund victims who collectively lost millions. Largely granting Google's motion to dismiss a proposed class action suit seeking substantial damages for a range of allegedly unfair practices, federal judge Beth Freeman found that Google is shielded from liability because the tech giant did not induce victims to purchase the gift cards. Scammers did.
So you gotta sue them.
The lawsuit was filed by Judy May, who lost $1,000 in 2021 when scammers tricked her into buying Google Play gift cards by claiming she was eligible for a government grant.
Why would the government sell you Google gift cards?
Yeah, exactly. May was told she could send codes from the gift cards to cover, and I quote, certain costs up front to receive same-day delivery of the grant money, end quote. After she fell for it, she realized she'd been scammed, but Google refused to provide a refund, citing terms May considered unconscionable. May claimed that Google knows its gift cards are preferred way for scammers to steal funds, and should put warnings on gift cards alerting customers to common scams. I don't know that I've ever been anywhere where you can buy a gift card that doesn't have a big sign.
Yeah.
It says, you know, something gift. Along the lines of,
yeah, we can't.
Nobody.
Even where I work, gift you know, cards we sell, for,
yeah.
sell the gift cards. And we caution folks. You
gift
know,
cards
when they
are
come,
for gifts.
And hello, she is all she's trying to do is pay. Have somebody else pay for her stupidity. We yep. have been for years now telling folks, yep. if any company calls you and says, oh, they're collecting for this or doing that, heck no to gift cards. Right. No agency, nope. IRS, what? Mail service, or whatever will ever accept gift cards.
What surprises me is this is Google gift cards. I usually hear Apple gift cards.
Right. Her complaint yeah. noted that gift card scams are underreported, while citing Federal Trade Commission data finding that Google Play gift card scams account for 20% of reported gift card scams between 2018 and 2021. And triggered more than $17 million in losses. But Freeman ruled that May suffered economic harm because of third-party scammers' fraudulent inducement, not Google's omission or misrepresentation. Additionally, May failed to show that Google had any duty to refund customers after Google cited Target and Walmart's policies to show that it's common to refuse refunds. Just another reminder that no government agency or any other company is going to accept gift cards as payment. Neither do we. But you can you donate securely online at jazz901.org and then give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. I fully back that judge that, no, companies should not be liable for your stupidity and falling for scams.
We're sorry that you did.
Yeah.
I don't like calling it stupidity. They're lack of knowledge, ignorance. They're not right. necessarily stupid. But it's also a fraud protection for the business. There's a huge scam where someone buys a gift card, spends all the money on it, and then goes back to the store and says, this gift card is empty. I want my money back. No. How do we know you didn't spend it?
That's exactly right.
Well, no, I mean, this has been going
It's been a re-gift. There's 27 cents left on it. Okay, somebody's spent all the money and gave you the regifted card.
Right. No, the reason I say stupidity or no is this isn't just something that just popped up this year. This has been going on for at least 5 to 7 years.
Or more than that.
Yeah, that you know we've been reporting about.
Well, but the problem is, not, and this comes as a shock to me, but not everybody listens to this show.
Yeah.
And so there are a lot of people who do not know that you do not use gift cards for these kinds of payments. And also, people don't read signs. How many signs do you have telling people what your services cost? And then they come back and say, I didn't know it was going to cost this much. Four signs.
We had one this week.
And you signed a piece of paper.
Yeah, we had one this week where someone says, do I have to pay the service fee? And we said, not now, when you pick it up. Well, he heard that and said, I don't have to pay the service fee.
Right.
Well, that's not what we said. You can't ignore the second word.
right. They heard not and they stopped listening.
Yeah.
All right. Back.
So, well, FTC reports that stolen gift cards is $150 million business in this year alone. And it's on the rise.
Oh, big
time.
And
we haven't even hit the Christmas season yet.
No. Yeah. I mean, the number of folks that I get coming through where I work and the people telling me, I'll bet you if I hear it once, I've hear it in the course of a week at least 25 times that, oh, my account got compromised.
Yep.
And that's why, you know, I'm trying to encourage folks to use the tap and pay.
Yep.
You know, it's a lot better than swiping it. Because, you know, all that information, there's, like you say, that one-time code.
It's a one-time code. And once it's used, it's done. Yeah. Steal it all you want. I'm perfectly happy to have you do that.
Yep.
And if you do have a small business, it's especially hard. People bring iTunes gift cards back into our store saying that Apple won't return these. Can I return them here? No. You didn't buy it from us, and you can't return gift cards. But the FTC has a program, Stop Gift Card Scams, where you can get free signage that you can put up in your stores if you sell gift cards yourself. And it may help you if someone tries to return a gift card to you. I'm putting a link to that in our list here.
Yeah. All right. While you're doing that, we'll go back to the phones and talk to Mark from Greece. What's up, Mark?
Yeah. Speaking of gift cards, there's a video on YouTube of this young lady. She's down south somewhere. I can't remember the name of the town she's in, but she bought multiple gift cards for some people and one for a lady that works for her. And every one of those cards were already used by the time she got them home.
Yep. Yep.
That used to be telephone calling cards, if people are old enough to remember that, where you'd have a calling card with money on it that would tie to your phone bill. People would stand across the way from payphone banks, remember those, and watch you type your code in with binoculars, and before you finished your call, all the money would be gone.
Yep. And with something like this, and I'm not accusing anyone, but it is easy for a clerk to take a photo or scan, with the right program. They can run the card over their phone before they run it, before they ring it up.
Hers were in the self-serve aisle.
Oh, interesting.
And she didn't do the self-serve, and from what they understand is someone's in the server taking these as soon as they're paid for.
Right. That's the other end.
And that's
right.
Why you have to get them activated at the register.
Doing nothing about it.
Yeah, but normally, I mean, at least with ours, I mean, granted, there's the number there that you can scan, but then to use it, you got to scrape off the PIN number.
The PIN number, yeah.
So they've added that extra layer of protection. Yeah, you can steal those numbers all you want, but if you don't have a matching PIN number to that card,
right,
you're all dressed up and no place to go.
Yeah, so whatever's happening at Walmart needs to be changed because they're taking them as soon as they're in the system.
Yeah, they don't have that additional security of like a PIN number.
Well, and that's why they have to get activated at the register when you buy it. Mm-hmm. You can't just grab gift cards off the rack and have them work. But it sounds like someone has got a breach into Walmart's gift card program and they're reading it as soon as it's It was like when the Target got their all their credit card numbers breached because there was someone in the payment system processing. It wasn't inside Target itself. It was their payment processor.
Right.
And they're doing nothing about it. That's the problem.
Nothing we know of. There's probably...
Yeah, right. Because she's gone to corporate. She went all the way to corporate, and corporate said, well, there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah. How do we know you didn't just spend it all yourself?
Yep.
It's a lot easier to put the blame on them than it is to search out and fix the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Especially if she's the only one it's happened to.
About that, so.
Yeah. If she's the only one who's complained about it.
Right. Mm-hmm. The only one that's gone back and complained, then they think it's just her, rather than...
Well, from what I understand now, from this was months ago, there have been a lot of complaints.
Right. Once one person complains in public, other people come out of the woodwork.
The woodwork, yeah.
And she's told everybody on there not to do their cards right now because she said they're all compromised.
Yep.
So.
There's also a big Walmart gift card scam going around online, too. You can get a $750 Walmart gift card by clicking a link and filling out a survey. Nope, they steal all your information and don't give you anything.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, because Walmart's the big name, that's where they get targeted.
Yeah, they think they're safe, yeah.
Yep.
And, it's only going to get worse right now with the holidays pending.
Right. As the holidays come closer, this is going to get worse. So, listen, everybody, no legitimate company takes gift cards as payment for anything. No legitimate company will do that. If you're going to get your gift cards, get them from a reputable place and get them activated immediately. And before you do that, before you take them to the register, check to make sure they have that scrapable PIN number so that it's got that extra layer of protection.
Exactly, because that's not in any information that you put in when you buy the car. Those PIN numbers are not encoded.
Right, exactly.
We almost may want to go back to cash for gifts this holiday season.
Right. Well, then now you run into the problem of you go to the teller and you say, I need $1,000.
Yeah.
Legitimately will say for what?
Yeah.
And you'll say for gifts.
Yeah, we have to.
Well, that's.
The limit. Yeah, you know, we've got limits. And
well, my daughter works at a bank, and she stopped. I can't tell you the number of people who said, my daughter's, stuck in jail and I got to send gift cards. No. Let's call your daughter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I won this prize, but I got to send them gift cards. No, you do not. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you the number of times. And, these are older folks who, get the call and
they're sucked in.
Look, everybody likes to win something, particularly if you're on Social Security. Everybody likes to win.
Well, the other thing, too, is they also do the intimidation factor. They try to intimidate folks. You got to do this or otherwise, mm-hmm. You're going to lose hundreds of dollars out of your bank account. And,
we're the IRS. If you don't pay this immediately, you'll go to jail. Mm-hmm. We've got federal marshals on the way.
Yeah, we're going to collect from you one way or the other. So either you do it this way or, they're going to be beating down your door within the hour.
Everybody's got to watch the first.
I don't understand how people don't understand that. The IRS is not going to take gift
cards. Well, a lot of folks, don't listen to.
It doesn't make any sense.
But see, the thing of it is, though, they live in their own little world.
Well, no, we've grown up being programmed to trust people. And the IRS isn't going to lie to us, is it?
Right.
You don't even think it's not the IRS.
Right. When I worked at Logical Operations, there was a sign on the wall that said, it's nice to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. We grow up with that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that wasn't nice. Apologize. Mm-hmm. You need to be nicer. Oh, that was so nice. We learn that as children.
Yep. And everyone's got to watch like the first 20, 30 minutes of The Beekeeper with Jason Statham.
Oh, yeah, you do.
It explains exactly how these work. And, I accidentally credited you to too much. Give me your bank number and I'll take that back. You wouldn't want to get me fired, would you?
Right.
And it's just.
That is an excellent movie.
Yep.
Matter of fact, they're already talking about Beekeeper 2.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Mark.
Yep. Have a good day.
Yep. You too.
Thanks.
And it's currently free on Amazon Prime.
If you want to watch a good one that explains it,
and you don't have to watch when he gets revenge on everyone who scammed.
Yeah, just the first half hour is
first. Yeah, first 20 minutes.
Yeah. And we see it. We see it all the time. One of the things that back in the day. When I was working with a couple of tiger teams, and these are groups of people that are hired by an organization to break into them. And we're sitting around the table, and the boss looked over my shoulder. We were trying to figure out what our in was to this one company. The boss looked over my shoulder, and he said, that's it. I turned around. He had a shelf full of thumb drives
mm-hmm.
from various back in the day when you got thumb drives every time you went to a booth at an exposition. They'd throw you thumb drives.
Yep.
And he had probably 24 of them. So what we did was we took them and we filled them with a couple of pictures and a virus. And then just dropped them on the paths into the bank. And all we needed was for one person
to plug it in,
to pick one up and say, I will return this to the person if I can figure out who it is. So I'll just plug it into my computer and see who it belongs to. Bang, we own that bank by 8:04 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
the next morning.
Yep. There's a 1992 movie with Robert Redford called Sneakers.
Yes.
That's really, really good. The same way that, he works for a company that breaks into companies and then tells them where their faults are. And as he's cashing the payment check, the clerk is talking with him. And he says, what do you do? Well, yeah, we break in and tell people and they pay us for showing us their faults. And she looks at the check and says, not very much.
But yeah, those are the kind of things, we broke in all kinds of ways. And often, let me tell you, you walk into a building dressed nicely, carrying a clipboard, you own that building. Nobody stops you. And you call people up, and you're nice to them, and they're nice to you.
Hi, this is
they
Joe
will
from,
tell you everything.
This is Joe from IT. I need your password. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It was ridiculous. It really opened my eyes to how easy it is to do that stuff.
Yep.
But
folks are very easily intimidated in them.
Well, they're gullible.
Yep. And we're programmed to be nice to people.
We're programmed to be nice, and that's the thing.
Bad guys didn't get that program, I guess.
Yeah. All right. This actually shocked me. Last Friday, S&P Dow Jones Indices announced that AI chipmaker NVIDIA will replace Intel in the Dow Jones Industrial Average.
Oh, my goodness.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I could see him replacing somebody, but Intel?
Right. Marking a seismic shift in the semiconductor industry and ending Intel's 25-year run on the prestigious stock market index. The change actually took place yesterday. Intel stock has dropped 54% this year, making it the worst performer on the Dow. And the company now holds a market share of under $100 billion for the first time in three decades. So Intel isn't hurting. They've still got $100 billion, but it's the lowest they've been in a long time. Analysts expect Intel to post its first annual net loss since 1986. The change reflects a dramatic shift in the semiconductor industry's power dynamics. Intel, whose chips drove the personal computer revolution from the 70s to the 90s, has been on shaky ground recently. The chip maker has lost its manufacturing leadership to Taiwan's TSMC, and reportedly missed opportunities in the growing market for AI processors. Meanwhile, due to the demand for AI accelerator chips, NVIDIA's market capitalization has soared to $3.32 trillion, making it the second most valuable company in the world. The company's graphics processing units power many AI systems today, including generative AI chatbots like ChatGPT, driving the company stock price up more than 100% this year alone. So those of you with NVIDIA stock, are you adopting? I'm available. The Dow Jones Industrial Average serves as a benchmark of the U.S. stock market by tracking 30 large, publicly owned companies that represent major sectors of the U.S. economy, and being a member of the index has long been considered a sign of prestige among America's companies. However, S&P regularly makes changes to the index to better reflect current realities and trends in the marketplace, so deletion from the index likely marks a new symbolic low point for Intel. Whether Intel will rebound is yet to be seen, but investors will undoubtedly keep a close watch on Intel as it attempts to reorient itself in the face of changing trends in the tech industry. Is this a surprise to you? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415.
Used to be Apple and Microsoft would swing back and forth for the top market cap depending on their stock price that day, but now NVIDIA's jumped ahead. What's really crazy is there's a dozen companies over $1 billion.
Yeah.
And a dozen more, you know, pushing $1 billion. And then three companies at $1 trillion. Three companies at $3 trillion market cap.
And they are
NVIDIA, Apple, and Microsoft.
Yep.
In that order as of today.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens when the market opens on Monday.
Well, exactly. It, you know, it's volatile, but it there it is. And the market is doing pretty well, and the S&P 500 is doing real well.
Alphabet is trailing by $1 trillion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Only $2 trillion market cap.
And we're doing very well. We have 164 votes.
Yes.
But we can have more, so you can vote at soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. If you haven't voted in the poll, particularly if you're voting during the week, listening to the podcast, if you're inside and sitting around, vote in the poll. Let's see how high we can get it this week. But yeah, it's... one of the things about the tech industry right now is that, as Dave said, it's not about computers anymore. In fact, right at the moment, it's not about anything except AI. I mean, everybody's pushing AI, whether it's really artificial intelligence or not. They're pushing the term AI, And that takes an incredible amount of processing power.
Can you go get that PowerPoint doc and replace all the mentions of Bitcoin with AI?
Right, exactly. Exactly. But that's the thing. And NVIDIA does those AI processes a lot better than anybody else. And that's why right now they're on top. While you contemplate that, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you in a few.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
That's nice. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 34 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And you can vote in the poll at soundbites.org and give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Speaking of the beekeeper, plans for Mark Zuckerberg's Meta to build an AI data center in the U.S. that runs on nuclear power was thwarted in part because a rare species of bee was discovered on land earmarked for the project. AI takes ludicrous amounts of power to perform its dubious magic. Zuckerberg had planned to strike a deal with an existing nuclear power plant operator to provide emissions-free electricity for a new data center supporting his artificial intelligence ambitions. However, the potential deal faced multiple complications, including environmental and regulatory challenges. The discovery of the rare bee species on a location next to the plant where the data center was to be built would have complicated the project. The blow comes as rivals Amazon, Google, and Microsoft have all struck deal. I did get an Oxford comma in there after Google. have all struck deals recently with nuclear power plant operators to fulfill rising energy demands from data centers as they race to train and maintain power-hungry AI models. One AI query consumes up to 10 times the energy of a standard Google search. Meta is continuing to explore various deals for carbon-free energy, including nuclear. Nuclear is increasingly viewed as a way to get stable round-the-clock power during the AI wars between big tech groups. However, it also has a high upfront cost and takes a long time to build. The industry in the West has historically relied on Russia for nuclear fuel. Critics also caution about the risk of the buildup of toxic radioactive waste, which has to be stored safely or could severely harm both humans and the environment. In September, Microsoft announced that it would revive the mothballed nuclear plant at Three Mile Island, Pennsylvania. Amazon paid $650 million in March to put a data center next to the Susquehanna steam electric nuclear plant, also in Pennsylvania. Google, meanwhile, said last month that it had ordered 6 to 7 small modular nuclear reactors from U.S. startup Kairos Power, becoming the first tech company to commission new nuclear power plants. Zuckerberg is under pressure to prove to investors that his all-in bet on AI will bear fruit as the company's capital expenditures continue to rise, given its investments in running servers and data centers to develop the cutting-edge technology. So are you ready for a nuclear-powered computing future? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415.
I still think it's going to be solar. I mean, you see so many places, you know, that are doing solar-powered banks. I mean, you just go along Mount Reed, and over there,
the problem with this is that AI requires so much energy that the solar panel farm would have to be friggin' enormous.
Well, the thing of it is, though, is the technology on this the cells for the photocells and that is changed so much now.
It used to be under 12%. Now it's up to 30%. That's a significant increase, but it's still only 30%.
And I think that's definitely still the way it's going to go, you know, more because it's maybe. Clean energy.
It's very clean. The so is nuclear when it's done right.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a kick out of that. Zero emissions?
Yeah.
Yeah, there may be zero emissions, but there sure is a heck of a lot of waste.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the real problem. One of the proposals has been to shoot the nuclear waste into the sun. All you're doing is adding a little more fuel to the sun, which is not necessarily a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But how much energy does that take?
Well, the problem is the amount of energy it takes. Well, they got the slingshot thing. That would be pretty cool. The real question is it only takes one accident to really screw up your day.
Yeah.
I'm on a government website, and nuclear plants are physically smaller than most solar farms. So it takes up less land.
Yes. Significantly smaller.
Yeah.
I mean, to get the power that Dave's talking about would take so many acres it would like cover Rhode Island.
Yeah,
to do one plant right now at 30%.
Right now,
if every house puts solar on their roof, you can power your house most of the time.
Right, right, right. For non-governmental or non-computer use, solar is absolutely the way to go. But like I said, a friend of mine lives down in the Finger Lakes, and he powers his house and, in fact, charges his car with solar. He's got solar panels in his yard. And you know, phase one took care of the house electricity. Phase two took care of more house electricity and the car. He's living essentially off the grid.
Yep.
Well, no, because he gets his water from his pond.
Yeah.
So he's essentially living off the grid.
Although there's a weird law in New York that if you don't get your power from a registered energy company, you still have to pay them something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, come the revolution, he's living off the grid.
There's a gas-fired power plant in Dresden near Seneca Lake that uses their excess capacity to mine bitcoins.
Yes.
And that became a little controversial when it first started coming out.
Yes.
That's the problem with power generation, that you generate power that people don't need right now. What do you do with it? And battery technology isn't good enough yet for that.
Right.
And so most power is on demand. So we joke about a hot summer day, everyone in Rondecoit turns on their air conditioner, and everyone in Gates lights dim.
Right.
For a few seconds until the power plant can update its load balancing.
Right. That's the real problem. And if you have a solar panel on your house, if you have enough solar panels on your house that you can handle all of your needs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's face it, how many computers do we have running in our homes?
Yeah.
We're a little above average, I believe. When the number hits double digits, you're above average.
That's one of the things that Tesla
and TVs and your router and phones and
I'm counting in my Raspberry Pis.
Well, yes, you have to
look at your DHCP table. We were doing that at work yesterday. We have 67 devices, permanent
and also
devices
the
on
wireless,
our network.
The wireless printers.
Yep.
And that's one of the things Tesla has done with their Powerwall. Is you put solar panels on your roof, and they can feed the power wall, which is giant batteries.
It's just a giant battery.
And theoretically, if you live in an area with enough sunlight, you can power your electric car only by sunlight.
Well, that's where they're also changing the technology. I saw auto review thing where in the hood of the car, they're changing it to the paint so that they can put in solar cells. So as you're driving along,
the hood, the trunk, and the roof, they're doing
they
them
can
all.
Sit there. Well, I saw it where right now they're just doing, just trying to get the, everything working correctly just on the hood.
Right.
To get the chips working in that and then charge the car, you know?
I saw a report of a guy who did that, and he had the hood, the roof, and the trunk covered with them. And he got about an extra, and they were cheap way off brand solar panels, and he still got about 3 miles a day extra. And somebody else said 3 miles, and they said it's 3 miles I wouldn't have had.
Yeah,
it's three extra miles.
Well, they're also there. I saw one where as the wheels are turning, They've got it turning to generate more power, just like your alternator, to charge the batteries.
Yeah, they do that. And then there's the regenerative braking, too.
Yep.
Whereas when you, as you slow down, it uses that power to help recharge the batteries. Yep. Every little bit helps. Every little bit gains
technology,
you something.
Technology, just like the computers.
Right. And as the battery technology gets better, as regenerative braking technology gets better, as the solar panel technology gets better. Right. I mean, like I said, it was under 12%. Now it's up to 30%.
Yeah.
You know, you get what? Twice as many miles. So he'd get 6 or 8 miles. That's the difference between I got to call a tow truck and I made it home.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say that extra 3 miles, you know, you're talking about, oh, it's only 3 miles. Well, it's 3 miles less than I would have had to walk to get home.
Exactly
to
right.
To call a tow truck or, you know, whatever.
Exactly right. And you can, you know, it's the power, you can get a home power connector for your electric car. And, you know, some of them, yes, are just 110 volts, and it takes you overnight to charge them. Well, guess what? Your car's sitting there overnight. I was talking to somebody who's complaining about that. Takes 10 hours to recharge them. Well, I come home, my car sits for 10 hours before I go out the next day. So I win.
Yep.
And how many folks actually drive it down to zero?
Well, and that's just it. You know, right now I've got my gas-powered car. And I was looking at the gas gauge when I left the house, and it was about 270 miles for my tank is what I have. You know, it estimated that I had left.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? I can get a car that does 270, actually 310 miles on an electric charge.
And that's only you.
It's the same thing.
You fill your gas tank maybe once a week.
That's exactly right. And it costs, what, $30 to fill my gas tank? At the current prices, it costs something like $8 to top off my battery from empty to full.
Yeah.
That's a trade-off
isn't
stupid to make.
And a lot of people, I've read stories about, they're going to rent a car to go on a trip. Oh, I'll rent an electric car, see how that works. No. Electric cars are not good for trips. They're good for jaunting around. Uh-huh. So right now, so many families have two cars, husband and wife, or husband and husband, whatever. They'll have two cars. So maybe you have one gas car for the trips that you use once or twice a month, right, and then one electric car that you use every day for your daily commutes.
Yeah, I don't take a lot of trips anymore. I was talking to a friend of mine who said he just bought a used Chevy Bolt, I forget which one he bought. And he said it only gets about 110 miles on a charge.
Because the battery wears out.
The battery wears out. He says 110 miles is 3 days worth of trips for me. I work from home.
Yep.
I don't have kids that I'm dropping off everywhere. 110 miles is 3 days worth of travel for me. If I charge this thing up every single night, I will always have 110 miles I can travel every single day, and I don't.
Or if you
that get, makes sense. That's smart.
Or you get a hybrid that'll do both, you know, gas or electric.
And you can get a hybrid as well, but it depends on your use case,
mm-hmm.
right? So, for example, for you back when you were when you had the shop,
yep,
right, you'd get a call to go to Dansville,
yeah,
you'd get a call to go to, you know, all those places,
yep.
Okay, you need a gas car,
yep,
absolutely. I come here once a week. Go to dinner a couple of times a week. I could do with that 110-mile electric car and
easily.
Still only charge it once a week.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know?
You'd spend more time on the charger just sitting there charging.
And it would be sitting there charging anyway. Right,
yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, there's a. It's not just what about the car. It's what about how I drive, where I go, mm-hmm. what I do.
I see.
If you work from home, you're spending a minimum of 8 hours a day sitting on your butt on a couch. Your car could be plugged in.
Yep.
So when you do want to go somewhere, you've got a full charge.
It used to be everyone had two or three horses to deal with their lives.
Yep.
And then now everyone's got two or three cars.
Right.
And only the rich people have horses.
Exactly.
It's you know, swapped.
Right.
So now what happens in the next few years, one of the really interesting concepts, especially in highly densely populated cities. You look at New York now, hardly anyone actually owns a car.
Right.
Because public transportation is so good and parking is so expensive.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you need a car, you push the button on your app, and a car shows up and takes you where you want to go.
Right.
And so the bigger cities you may not need to know. Ironically, Los Angeles is the exact opposite. Everyone has a car. The traffic is horrible. It takes 3 hours to go 5 miles.
And the smog is so thick.
Yep.
When I lived in New York, my roommate rented a garage on Staten Island for his car because it was cheaper to take the ferry to Staten Island mm-hmm. when he wanted to drive somewhere on the weekend. Then, of course, he didn't drive anywhere because he had a Sunbeam, and it was mostly in parts in the garage. But that's a different story. The point is, if he wanted to go somewhere, he'd take the ferry to Staten Island, take a bus to his garage, get in his car, go places, then take a bus back and a ferry back and another bus, subway to his house, and that's the way he lived.
Mm-hmm. There are companies, especially in New York City, that will like hold the spot for you.
Yeah.
So you can park in that spot when you get where you're going.
But it's expensive.
And I've also heard stories about parking people that try to save public parking spaces. It's a public space. You can't save it. But they'll try to save it for people that pay them more money.
Right.
I always get a kick out of that in TV shows, especially in New York City, where they drive up and stop right in front of the place they're going to and get out of the car.
Yeah, that never. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When I lived in New York, that never happened.
Yeah.
Unless you were in a taxi.
Yeah.
And then you heard horns behind you for the next mm-hmm. 10 minutes. And, of course, in terms of parking garages, they have elevators for cars.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no land spreading out, but there's lots of up.
Vertical.
And some of the newer ones, there's one in Dubai that's amazing. It's a giant circular carousel. The cars are parked.
Yeah.
The cars are parked inches apart because it's all done on robotic sleds.
Right.
So they can fit more cars in the same space because you don't have to open the doors.
Right. Exactly right. Things are the ingenuity of people to be able to make these things and make them work is great. I think, more electric is in our future.
I think battery technology is going to greatly
improve. Well, that's the problem.
Public parking in Manhattan is up to $10 an hour if you can find an open meter.
Well, yeah, and that's in a big if.
Yeah.
And that's that's cheap. When I lived in New York, it was up to $5, so in some places. So it's got to be $50 now. The big thing is that battery technology has not kept up.
Yep. Yeah, if you want to be the next big time.
If you want to be the next gazillionaire, go into battery technology, material science.
We've been saying that. I've been saying that for a long time right now with your phones. We sit there on our phones so much more than we did even 5 years ago. And the big problem there is the phone's battery life.
Right.
I mean, because people are streaming videos or they're watching this YouTube video or this movie or anything else and doing so much of their life on that phone, and the batteries are dying out. Where's a charging station that I can hook up for a little bit just to get a quick charge?
Right. Yeah. It's a genuine problem. And the real problem is you see all these new technologies. Oh, we've got new materials. Oh, we've got, a new form factor. I don't care. Talk to me about energy density.
Yeah,
I want it to be more energy dense.
More
I don't care.
Efficient.
Yeah.
The average energy density of today's lithium ion batteries is 243 milliwatt hours per gram.
Right.
You got to have units. There's zinc air batteries that are being worked on now. How can you have zinc and air? You need electrode and positive and negative. 400 milliwatt hours per gram. Almost
that's
double.
What excites me. It's never the anything except the energy density. Tell me how much energy I can get per gram, and that tells me I'm excited or not excited.
And you get more power out of the same size unit.
Exactly. And that's what you're looking for. The battery that fits in my phone today lasts 24 hours. If you can give me the same battery that lasts 48 hours, now we're talking.
Oh, that's neat. So a zinc air battery works by oxidizing zinc with oxygen from the air. So it takes oxygen out of the air. So it only needs half the components. of a lithium,
which is why it's denser.
Right, lithium ion batteries are lithium, nickel, and cobalt, and they have the positive and negative.
But that also means that theoretically, at least, the battery gets lighter.
Yeah.
And eventually runs out of zinc. So there's a life limit
expectancy. Yeah.
To that battery. So if you're going to put that battery in my phone, you darn well better be allowed. I better be allowed to change that battery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to change. I mean, Apple is notorious. They weld everything in.
Mm-hmm.
If they could do it with a spike, they would.
They say that's so they can make the battery bigger by not having all that mechanism around the battery to open it up and pull it out. I've seen the mechanism
around the batteries. It isn't that big.
Yeah. And the hard shell around batteries to prevent impact damage isn't on the Apple battery. So we have to go through these big battery safety classes when you open a computer up and you put a safety cover on it. Because you drop a screw on a battery pack, you could puncture it.
Yep. That's exactly right. They're very thin.
One of the other things that I've seen, like some of the YouTube videos, which are really cute, talking about electric cars, that people, I saw this one where the girl pulls in her friend's house, saw that the neighbor has, a charging station. So she grabs the cord and plugs it in. And the guy goes, "What are you doing?" "Well, I'm just borrowing this to do it."
I'm just charging my car.
Wait a minute, that's mine. Yeah, but I just saw you weren't using it.
But I need it. I was at my sister's house and I need a charge.
And I'm here at my friend. She's charging hers right now.
I tell you what, it's
the modern day equivalent of siphoning gas out of the car.
Right. I tell you what I lust after recently. If you've ever seen the Microlino, or if you want to pronounce it Microlino, there is now an electric Microlino. And it's a little tiny four-wheel two-seater car.
God,
and
it's
you get
ugly.
In and as ugly as sin. You get
in
and out of it.
It's worse than a smart car.
You get in and out of it through the front.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
The whole front opens up, and you just walk in and sit down.
You get in an accident, they just bury the whole thing.
Well, that's the problem with them. They're not street legal in the United States. But I saw one, and I just thought that, yeah, okay, yes. Yes, I love this car already. for a daily commute. And, of course, the difference is in Europe, all the cars are tiny.
Yeah.
Right? You're not talking about those. One of the latest statistics is the number of children who are being killed in their own driveways because their parents can't see them over the hood or mm-hmm. trunk of the car while they're pulling in or backing up because the cars are so friggin' big. That statistic has gone up insanely, alarmingly high.
That's
just stupid. I mean, how you got to feel about you? You killed your own child because your car is so big.
Yeah,
watching British car show Top Gear. It was always fun watching them take these super expensive hypercars around the cities in Europe. And cobblestones and streets are two horses wide, and trying to fit these giant cars down the streets, and the tiny ramps they had to go up to get into like parking garages, and there's only an inch clearance on the bottom of a Ferrari. So,
yep.
Mm-hmm.
So we prefer huge cars. And that has a cost in terms of mileage, whether it's gas mileage or electric mileage. It has a cost. The bigger and heavier the car, the less mileage you get. That's just a fact.
But ironically, the safer you are in the event of an accident.
Well, yes, but that's because everybody else is in a big car.
Yeah.
And like I was saying, in Europe, almost nobody's in a big car. So if you get in an accident, it's not that bad.
Right, and public transportation is so well that almost nobody has a car.
Right. And that's, people ride bikes all the time, and there are very few bike accidents in those places because, A, everybody's biking, and B, people are more careful. People pay attention. And the bicyclists, quite frankly, are also better. I mean, when I see some bicyclist run a red light, I think, okay, if that guy gets hit, he's going to blame the other guy. it's not the other guy's fault. He ran the red light.
Yep.
But it doesn't matter. He's on a bicycle, so he wins. But it's just, you know, it's a thing. And I'm old, and I'm yelling at clouds.
Get off my lawn.
Right. All right. Thank heaven that music tells us we're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray. I want to thank everybody who voted in the polls. We got 167 votes. Not 200 this week, but we did decent amount. And my hope is that the people who listen to this show during the week will also vote in the poll at soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. I want to thank everybody who called in. We had good questions this week. And yes, there's something not right with the website, but it has nothing to do with us. It has to do with life in general. And hopefully it will be fixed when they fix it. But you know what? We'll be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you in just 166 hours. Be good to one another, will you?